Okay, so guys, the message is for you this morning. I picked on the girls last month. And I'm not picking on you guys. I'm just giving you some wonderful things that the Lord has to share with you. And at the same time, fellas, I want you to put on that PMSA attitude, okay? We're going to put on that positive, mental, spiritual attitude. No ants, no automatic negative thoughts as we move into the Word of God and see what He wants to share with you this morning. As you can see at the top of your message notes, I've given you again the three essential questions. Now, gentlemen, if you'll apply these three essential questions as we move through the message this morning, then it will become an automatic action step for you at the end. You're going to be able to take these things into your life and begin to make them part of the way you live. And the Lord will bless you. That's the whole point of this morning's message, that our Heavenly Father will bless you as you move further into this role, deeper, if you will, to being a dad, a granddad, a stepdad, an uncle, whatever that might be. You know, I got to be at the birth of all three of my kids, and I got to be at three of my grandchildren's births as well. And what a privilege that is. But if you go back 50, 55 years, it wasn't a privilege afforded to the husbands, the dads that go into the delivery room. They had to stay in another room and wait for a nurse to come and deliver them the message of what their wife had just given birth to. So going back about 55 years, you had these three guys in this delivery room. And after waiting there several hours, in walks a nurse and says, "Mr. A, your wife just delivered twins." And he goes, "What a coincidence. I play ball for the Minnesota Twins. You know, that's great." And then several minutes later, another nurse came in and said, "Hey, Mr. B, your wife just delivered triplets." And he says, "What a coincidence. You know, I work for 3M Company." And about that time, you got this other guy all by himself on this other couch. And like a snake, he just kind of slithers off the couch, and he's laying on the floor. And the nurse says, "Are you all right? Should I call a doctor?" And he says, "No, but I work for 7-Up Bottling Company." But having said that, it was a joy to be in and watching my kids being born, especially my firstborn. She, as I've shared, you know, she was like this big, and she didn't cry. Honestly, for the first several days, she didn't cry. She squeaked. She was so little, she just squeaked. But she was over 7 pounds. But nonetheless, she squeaked. And I'm holding her, and I'm looking at Kath, who's laying in the bed, you know, and I'm saying, "Honey, what do I do with her?" And she said, "Ron, just love her." And she'll have to tell you if I accomplished that or not. But As we moved on in life, as most of you know, I was in law enforcement, and people talked about the evils of the world and all of the devilish things that are going on and how terrible all of this is. And every once in a while, particularly around the church folks, they're saying, "I'm not sure I want to bring children into this evil, awful world." And I just want to share with any of you who are thinking like that to bear in mind that the world has always, with the exception of that time that Adam and Eve, prior to their sin, we've had nothing but evil from that point on. Murder began right after the garden. It began with Adam and Eve's family. And so it has been, and it's gotten worse and worse. In fact, our Lord decided, I'm going to wipe out all of you folks with the exception of a handful because you're all so terrible and I'm sick that I even made you. So folks, today is no worse than it was before the flood. Because if it was, we wouldn't be here. The church would be raptured and everybody else would find themselves in really deep weeds. So having said that, don't tell people not to have kids. This morning I want us to look at the life of a godly dad. His name is Enoch. And fellas, we're not talking about Enoch Asmuth, who used to be in Eugene's spot and who came after Mike was here. I want to talk about this godly dad. His name is Enoch. The name that made Enoch, the thing that made Enoch a godly parent was that every day, make sure you write that down. Don't ignore that, fellas. Every day, he walked with God. It was no easy thing then, any more than it is today, fellas. There weren't any more distractions then than there are today. So he walked with God every day. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it tells us, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil, continually. We see the thoughts of men's hearts were evil all the time. Things had gotten so very bad that God was sorry that he had created humankind. Look at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. You see that there in your notes? Beginning in verse 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. The second advent, we're going to see a time just like it was before Noah went into the ark. For as in those days, the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So the second coming is going to be like that here in the United States, around the world. It's going to be a time of tremendous evil. That is how it will be. As I said, it's going to be like they're going to think they have a happy-go-lucky kind of culture at that time. They don't even know the judgment is coming. Many Americans today don't believe there is a judgment that's coming. And there will be a great white throne judgment one day in our future. The time then will be, the culture will be a pleasure-seeking culture, self-gratifying, and they're not even going to believe that the laws of God ever existed. They will be antiques. They won't even know what they are. I mean, we have little Bible bees, they call them, in other churches, where the children are quizzed on different things about the Bible. And the kids, they don't even know. They think it was Adam and somebody else, that Noah was married to Eve. And I mean, it's just completely sad as to what's going on in the American church today. They don't know the Ten Commandments. They were unaware that there is Ten Commandments. So if you look at your notes, observe. In the middle of a crooked and perverse world, like that, Enoch walked with God, and so can you, dads. Every one of you, so can you. And so can you, moms. And so can you, kids. So can all of us, because we have the same God that Enoch had. We can all walk with God. But that raises a question. The question there for in your notes, and here's your fill-in. What do I mean when I say that Enoch walked with God? What does it mean to be a godly parent in an ungodly world? So let's take a look at what it meant to Enoch. We don't know a lot about this man. There's very little that was written about him in Scripture, but I've given you the passages so that you can look at them yourselves later in the week. But the first thing we learn about walking with God in this wicked world is that we walk with God. Walking with God means to go with in Father God's direction. That's your fill-in. Walking with God means to go in Father God's direction. Not in the direction that those around me are going. People around me in various places are going in the wrong direction. I'll have to talk to him later. So walking with God means to go in Father God's direction, not in the direction that those around me may necessarily be going, not in the direction that I want to go on my own. The fact is, as you look at the fact in your notes, the essence of sin is choosing to go my own way and do my own thing. That's what we see going on in the American church today. They're going their own way, doing their own thing, and they're being led by shepherds, going their own way and doing their own thing. Rather than doing what Abba wants me to do. We see this in Isaiah, in the book that is named after him, in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Isaiah, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, says to the people then, as he says to you and me this morning, all we like sheep have gone astray. Not some of us, not many of us, all of us have gone astray like sheep. We have turned every one to his or her own way. And the Lord has laid on him the Messiah. This is a messianic passage from the Old Testament. The Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And we know that took place at the time that he was crucified. The crucifixion was bad enough, but then he who knew no sin would then receive all of your sins and mine. And there he would suffer the wrath of his Father that we should suffer. But he took it upon himself to become our Redeemer, our Savior. When Enoch was born, he was born, like you and me, into sin. But something happened that pulled him toward Father God. What was that thing that pulled him toward Father God? Could it have been the birth of his son, Methuselah? Now, I called myself Methuselah earlier this morning. I'm not him. Suddenly, he had responsibility. Suddenly, he had someone that would look up to him and be wanting to follow after him follow in his footsteps. If you look at your notes, Enoch, according to the word of God, was going in his own direction, but he turned around and headed in a different way. We call that repentance. Repentance is changing the way, the direction that we walk. This is an ongoing action step, dad, granddad, stepdad, uncle. This is an ongoing action step for us. I was walking towards sin, but now I'm walking away from sin much of the time, because I can't say I'm perfect, because I'm not. I'm pursuing excellence like I've encouraged all of you. But nonetheless, this is the direction we're supposed to be going, away from sin, towards holiness. Holiness calls us out to be the prized possession of our Abba Father, that we are these people that are set apart, that he uses for his glory and his honor. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus was speaking with Thomas. Thomas had asked him a question, "Where are you going?" And Jesus told him, "I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Through me. To be a godly father in an ungodly world, not only do I need to walk with God and follow him, I need to be walking with God, and it means to live by faith. To live by faith. That's your fill-in. Say with me, walking with God means to live by faith. Walking with God means to live by faith. Faith that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who seek him. Another way of saying that is to say faith that God exists and that he is the most magnanimous good God, as you sang this morning in that musical prayer about him. He is a good, good Father. So we are walking with God, and it means to live by faith, and faith that your kids have the potential of becoming great in God's hands. Your kids, whatever you may think of them, they can become great in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Walking with God means to walk in a faith that God can take better care of your kids. Better care of your kids than you can. He really can. I was talking with someone just this week, and they're a grandparent, and they're concerned that if they were to be called home, like Francis was called home a couple weeks ago, that something terrible might happen to their grandkids. And she was not going to accept the fact that our Heavenly Father would take good care of her grandchildren. Walking with God means to live by faith, the faith that Father God can change you and can enable you to be a great dad. Dad, you may have had some failures in your life. I certainly have. You can talk to my firstborn. She can tell you that. But we can pick up, we can confess and repent of our sins. And honey, however I let you down growing up, sincerely, I am sorry for any of those things. I am so sorry. Faith that Father God can change you and can enable you to be a great dad. I'm not the person I once was. I have been changed and wonderfully changed. And he's still changing me because there's lots of work to be done on me. Walking with God means to walk in a faith that God can provide for your family. That God can provide for your family. Even though the bills are high and the funds are low, he can come alongside and help you. There is no need to go into great anxiousness and tremendous worry. You don't have to overwork yourself and work multiple other jobs. I'm talking about somebody I know intimately. Me. This is the person I was and the person who God has changed. Wonderfully changed. Walking with God means to live by faith to enable you in such a way to live in obedience to him. Obedience, gentlemen. You lead the family. You're not Homer Simpson. You lead the family. And if you're not letting your husband lead and you see that he is working very hard at wanting to be the man of God that God wants him to be as the husband and the father in the home, the mom, you need to take your hands off little by little by little and let your husband go into the role that he was meant to be in. But you want to be careful, as I said. You need to see him moving in that direction that he abdicated at whatever point in your marriage. So, fellas, as I'm talking about living in obedience to your Heavenly Father, that means in your finances. It means telling the truth when it may be costly to you. You're at work and something's going on. The boss wants you to cover up something. You don't do it. You don't cover up a lie. You be the Christian in their midst. You be the one that's there to share your faith and why you're taking a different position from that of your boss. To be a godly father in an ungodly world, not only do I need to walk with God and follow after him, I need to walk by faith. Get it? Good. Number three, walking with God means to share his companionship. His companionship. Done a lot of teaching on that in the last year and a half. Say with me, walking with God means to share his companionship. Walking with God means to share his companionship. Share his companionship in the good times and in the bad. Share his companionship walking in God's way doesn't mean that we follow behind him in his footsteps, tracing the same path that he traced long ago. It means that we walk with him side by side and arm in arm, hand in hand, if you will. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I gnosko them." You know what gnosko means if you've been here the last year and a half. For you who are new, gnosko is a Greek term that means to intimately know, as a husband and a wife will know each other. It is not the knowing like I know George Washington and Abe Lincoln. I know about them. It isn't that I know them. I know Kathy Seidel. I have known her for almost 53 years. It is to know them intimately. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them intimately, and they follow me. Walking with God means to share in his companionship, because his companionship is about talking and listening. We talk to Father God through prayer, and we listen to him through his word and his spirit. Wow, that sounds like Gnosko time that you've been taught. That sounds like people who are having a DPE, a deep personal experience with the Lord, doesn't it? No? Did I wake somebody up? Walking with God means to share his companionship. Abraham was called the friend of God. It would be great to know that people knew that Ron was called a friend of God. That Will was a friend of God. That Christine is known as a friend of God. Wow. Do your children see you actively pursuing your relationship with God? Have they ever walked in on you when you were in your bedroom and kneeling next to your bed in prayer and your Bible was open on you, was open on the bed? You know, your child walked in and they had to back out because they didn't know that you were there praying. Or they walked in and you were prostrate on the floor and you had your Bible out in front of you. Have you ever had one of your children do that? It was a blessing for me many years ago that my kids, I don't know if it was for Father's Day or what, but they, you know, those little figurines, the Precious Moment figurines. They had the dad sitting in an overstuffed chair, and he has a book on his lap, and it's his Bible. And they got me that because this is the way they had been seeing their dad for years, in his chair, reading his Bible. How sweet is that? To be a godly father in an ungodly world, gentlemen, not only do I need to walk with God and follow after him, I need to walk with him in faith, and I should share his companionship. Get it? Good. Number four, walking with God means to be a strong witness. Walking with Father God means to be a strong witness for him. Say that with me. Walking with Father God means to be a strong witness for him. Because you see things the way that Father God does. As you spend that time, that Gnosko time, in that deep personal experience with him, as you are talking to him and he is talking to you through the word of God, you begin to pick up on the way he likes things done, the way he has asked you to do things, and he is there to help you to do it. Walking with God means to be a strong witness because you don't care what other people think. There was a time when, because of where Kathy and I, the two churches we were in prior to coming into full-time ministry, it was a bad thing to lift up your hands in worship to the Lord. If you lifted up your hands in worship, it meant that you were following a wrong theology. No, that's not true. The people who say that's a wrong theology are pursuing a wrong theology. You only have to read the Bible, and it talks about lifting up holy hands, which is a signal that says, I am repentant. I've confessed my sins. I am ready with clean hands to worship the Lord. Paul said, I would that all men would lift up holy hands. And you can read about it in the psalmist, in the Psalms. Same thing. I don't care what other people think anymore if I am following the Lord. If I'm outside, well, yeah, I should listen attentively to what the person has to say to me. But if I'm following the Lord, then I'm in good stead. I've got the Creator God of the universe beside me. And so do you who have been born from on high, born again. Look at your notes. At your job, you may be asked to do things that are wrong. You know that Father God is watching, but you also know that He'll forgive you. So you are tempted to go along with what you've been asked to do. That's what we call cheap grace. Cheap grace, taking advantage of our Lord. But what if you knew that your children, gentlemen, what if you knew that your grandchildren, grandpa, what if you knew that your children could see you? Would you give them the opportunity to be proud of you for standing up for what is right? Sure you would. Of course you would. The fact is this, look at your notes. The strongest witness that you can have is to send out great kids into the world. Great kids. If Mindy weren't here, I'd start bragging on her. Because I'm very proud of her. Exceedingly proud of her. And her sister, too. In the last 3.5 years of Ronnie's life, exceedingly proud of him. Yes, indeed. Proud papa. Proud dad. Very proud of all my, you know. Mike is my son-in-law, but he's my son. I don't put in-law in there, but I don't want to take advantage of my relationship with him either, because his dad's in heaven. And he, therefore, he has a dad who's in heaven. I would not usurp that role. Question. How many of you dads want to have an impact on your world? Many of you dads, like me, are approaching that point in your life where you look back over everything that you have done and you ask yourself, what difference have I made in the world? What difference have you made in the world? What or who has been changed by my presence here on this globe? Think about this. Here's your fill-in. If you want to have a real impact on your world, do it through your kids. Do it through your kids. For example, Mike and Mindy have done an exceptional job parenting. And I'm quite sure they're going to feel like I'm doing overkill on them. But it's not the case. I've been watching my grandkids grow up. I've been watching, you know, my own children grow up. But their daughters, not perfect, as I've told you in the past, all my grandkids are perfect. But they're not perfect. But they are exceedingly bright, and they're exceedingly beautiful, and they have a love for Christ that is honest and real. They have made an impact on their papa, a tremendous impact on their papa. And that's not because it just came through osmosis. It came because of blood, sweat, and tears, and a lot of tears probably, in the raising up of these two human beings, born in sin, but nonetheless whose hearts have been turned towards Christ. They've watched their father. They have watched their mother. They like their mother and father. They enjoy their mother and their father. If I've overdone it, I'm sorry, kids, but it's the truth. As far as I'm concerned, it's the truth for me. If you want to have a real impact in the world, do it through your kids. They are your arrows into the world. In Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Come on, guys. Stand up. Be men of courage. Be courageous, guys. Be these warriors. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gates. Hey, Dad. He is saying that you will be happy if you have your quiver full of these arrows. Now, I understand there are times that you think those arrows are really problematic. There were times. Many. But they are what you shoot out ahead of you in life. They go where you cannot go and accomplish what you cannot accomplish. I'll give you an example in just a few moments. The fact is this: Enoch had a son whose name it was Methuselah, who lived to be the oldest man who ever lived. Who remembers how long he lived?
969.
You got it, Scott. 969. The fact is, Methuselah had a son named Lamech, and Lamech had a son whose name was Noah. Enoch's grandson was used by God to rescue mankind from extinction. How's that for impacting your world? Your kids, maybe your kids are going to make impacts that only you as dad and mom or granddad and grandmom are going to notice. But maybe down the line, the next generation, they're going to do something even more significant. But don't write your kids off right now. They can be doing great and awesome things like my kids are. They blow my mind as to what they've been doing. So consider, look here at your notes. When the father is an active believer, dad, granddad, stepdad, uncle. When the father is an active believer, there is about a 75% likelihood that the children will also become active believers. Isn't that great? That's so cool. But if only mom, and this isn't a put down on moms, but if you basically only have mom in the house who's an active believer, the likelihood is dramatically reduced to 15%. Dad, you're important. You're important. But you're important to be the dad. The example that Jesus is pointing out to you this morning. Question, Dad, do you have a strong witness before your children? Only you can answer that. To be a godly father in an ungodly world, not only do you need to walk with God and follow after him, you also need to walk in faith, and you should share his companionship and provide a strong witness before your children. Get it? Good. Number 5. Walking with God means to leave behind your family sometimes. Sometimes. In order to go with God, Enoch had to leave his family and go after God, to follow him. Walking with Abba Father might require you to spend time with him, as I used to do before COVID. I'd go out to the monastery for 24 hours and be away from my family just to be alone with him, with my Bible, and talk with him for 24 hours. Walking with Abba might require you to spend time doing something like that. Paul said that it's easier for a single man to serve Jesus wholeheartedly than it is for a married man, because a married man concentrates on pleasing his family. In Paul's very first letter to the Corinthian church family, in chapter 7, beginning in verse 33, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious because about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Getting closer to Abba Father is the best thing that you can do, Dad. The very best thing you can do. Your wife will appreciate it, and the kids as well. God didn't take Enoch to be with himself before his family was at the point to where they could take care of themselves. Our job as parents is to get our children to the point that they don't really need us anymore and can survive without us. One of the highest emotional moments in a parent's life is when that last child walks down the aisle and leaves the nest. Really a difficult time, especially for mom, but also for dads. The goal, look at your goal there, dads, in your notes. By spending time with Father God, Enoch had become the kind of parent who could train his children in their own walk. Is that taking place, Dad? Is that taking place? Training your children so they can walk on their own with Father God, so that when you're gone, when Enoch was gone, they would be okay physically and they would be okay spiritually. This is an ongoing action step as a father, a Christian father. Life story that I'd like to share with you to make the point. Years back, there was a head coach. Maybe those of you who are sports enthusiasts will remember him. I don't. His name is Jimmy Johnson. He divorced his wife of 26 years when he left coaching a college team and became the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys in the National Football League. He said he needed a wife while coaching on the college level for social functions and to show families that he would be looking out for their sons. In pro football, however, she became a unnecessary accoutrement and a distraction to winning, he said. He went on, winning football was the number one priority, and his two sons were second. How tragic, how absolutely tragic. The one who gave him the two sons, who risked her life in birthing those two sons, he doesn't even give lip service to. By contrast, though, look at what I wrote there in your notes. A great example for dads, Tom Landry, former coach of the same football club, Dallas Cowboys. And he said, quote, "The thrill of knowing Jesus is the greatest thing that ever happened to me." Dads, can you say that? Would you say that? The greatest thing that happened to me. excuse me. I think God has put me in a very special place, and he expects me to use it to his glory in everything I do. Whether coaching football or talking to the press, I'm always a Christian. Always a Christian. I don't know what all of you guys do for a living, or if you're doing anything because you're retired, but always conducting themselves as a Christian. Christ is first, family is second, and football is third. To be a godly father in an ungodly world, not only do I need to walk with God and follow after him, you also need to walk in faith, and you should share his companionship and provide a strong witness before your children. Sometimes you'll need to leave your family behind, but only for a short time. Get it? Good. Last point. Walking with God means to arrive at Father God's destination. We all want to show up in heaven. We want to arrive in heaven having tasted and exercised God's power and God the Holy Spirit who lives in us and gives us this power to exercise and live in God's presence, to come to our DPE at that gnosko time every day. The best way for me to describe what happened to Enoch is with the words of a little boy who came home from Sunday school, and he described his Sunday school lesson in this fashion. He said, quote, "It seems that every day God would come by Enoch's house and say, 'Enoch, would you come walk with me?' And Enoch would come out of the house and go down to the gate and down the road with God. But God and he came to the place where Enoch enjoyed it so much, he'd wait by the gate for God to come by. And they would go for long walks. And then one day God came by and said, 'Enoch, let's take a long walk. I have much to tell you.' So they were walking and talking for a long time. And finally Enoch said, 'My, it's getting late in the afternoon. I better start heading towards home.' And God said, 'Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are to your home. Why don't you just come home with me?' And so Enoch went home with God." God's ultimate destination for you is that you become like his son, the Lord Jesus, who sits on his throne in heaven. Romans 8, verse 29, the first part of that verse. "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, predetermined to be conformed to the image of his son." Please listen carefully. Gospel musician, maybe you've heard some of his music, I have not. Hilding Haverson. He doesn't live too far from us. He lives up in Santa Barbara. Told this of overhearing a conversation between his son and two other little boys. The youngsters were bragging about their dads. One boy said proudly, "My dad knows the mayor of our town." Another said, "So, my dad knows the governor of our state." I wouldn't brag about that if it were me. Halverson's son then came up with this touching comment, quote, "That's nothing. My dad knows God. My dad knows God." Upon hearing this, Halverson quickly slipped away to his room and with tears in his eyes said, "Oh God, I pray that my boy will always be able to say, my dad knows God." He knew he'd been paid the supreme compliment. Gentlemen, are you walking with Abba Father? Based on what you've listened to this morning, are you walking with Abba? Or have you been going your own way? If so, repent. Repent. Tell him you're sorry and that you want the Holy Spirit to help you now walk in the right direction. You want to walk in the right direction, right, gentlemen? So then you get it. Got it. Good. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for allowing each of us to call you Papa, Daddy, Abba. You've said that reverence for you gives a man, even a woman, deep strength. And what we need today are men, men with deep strength. Help us. Help us build our firm foundation on Jesus Christ by walking with you, as you described it this morning, following you, by doing what you teach us, being a strong witness, a good companion, and being faithful to you. Being faithful to you first, and then to our family. When everybody else is running that race, that rat race for possessions, achievements, accomplishments, they're concerned about their appearances. Help us. Help us, Father, to remember that what matters most is agape, love, that love that seeks others' best and highest good before our own, and at our expense, to love you in that way, and to love our wives and our children, our families, our friends, and yes, even our enemies, as you've taught us in recent weeks, that we are to love our enemies, to agape them, and to pray for them. Help us to remember, Jesus, that you said our care for others is the measure of our greatness. Help us to give our lives away and learn what it means to really live. We realize that everything else is going to be burned up. It's going to pass away. But the man who does the will of God, you listening, men, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. More importantly, we pray you give these men a new sense of courage, the courage to stand alone, to be a man of honor, to be strong in the faith, and do everything in agape love. We pray this blessing in your name, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.